This is Radio City Talk.
Now, I'm joined on the line by, I want to say, one of the most exciting prospects in the world of boxing, but it seems to be a phrase that we always use about boxers who look a little bit good and a little bit crafty. The gentleman who joins me is from Boxing Stock, but he's doing it his own way. I'm joined by Harley Benn. You may know the surname, same surname as former world champion Nigel Benn, but Harley Benn is very much, well, he's paddling his own canoe. Would that be fair, Harley?
Yeah, that's a fair comment, more than fair.
So, I want to get this out of the way nice and early because I really want to focus on you and I want to focus on your career and what you've done, because the positivity that comes out of your camp, and I've watched many, many videos of you, mainly for about 3 hours this morning. You know what? You're an intriguing gentleman. Once you watch one video, you go on to watch the other and the other. You are the son of Nigel Benn. You take his name in the ring. You were previously Harley Andrews, but you decided that the Benn name and, I suppose, the boxing tradition that comes with that was the name you wanted in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it was about 14. I was about 14 when I changed from Andrews to Benn. The reason being, obviously, me and my dad, from previous interviews, I've mentioned that me and my dad haven't had the best of relationships. I get a lot of people that say to me, oh, if you don't like him, if you don't like him, why use the name, or why not use your mum's name, basically? And the reason being is me and my dad may not see eye to eye. He's still my dad. And secondly, I'm very proud of what the name brings. I'm very proud of how the name was created. I'm Nigel's son, so there is no reason that I shouldn't use that name.
Yeah, I can imagine if someone said to me, if I had an argument with my dad or a fallout with my dad, if someone said to me, just in your general everyday life, you can't use the name Phillips and you can't use the family name and you can't do that, that wouldn't sit right with me as well. So I completely understand. Yeah. It's good to have you on because we can talk across the sporting spectrums here, Harley. You started off as a professional footballer. You started off, was it with Arsenal and then on to West Ham?
Yeah, I started off in early days between the ages, I think it was about 9 and 12. I was with Arsenal Development Squad and Academy. And then I moved on to two very different positions. I went to Arsenal as a striker and West Ham as a goalkeeper. So I was about 15. I snapped my leg in two just messing around on a scooter. So that was sort of football dreams over, really. It would have healed and I could have played again, but not at the level I was, because if a team took a look at my medical records and see that I had four pins in my ankles, I wouldn't be very interested. So after that, it was sort of a bit doom and gloom for me, because all I ever knew was football. I mean, I didn't put on my first pair of gloves till about 16. It was all football. And unfortunately, it came to an end because of my injury. I started going off the rails, hanging around with the wrong crowds and things like that. And then I thought to myself, right, I've got to snap out of that. Sports the way forward. Dad was a good boxer, so why not see if I've got it in me? This was about 17, 18 years old. I started sparring in the gym, had a few white collar fights, and wasn't taking it too seriously then until last year, when I went to Lenny Butcher at Five Star Gym and started training professionally, sparring professional boxers. And I sort of got a taste for it properly, and I thought, you know what, I'll give this a crack. I promised myself that I haven't got to prove anything to anyone but myself, and the thing I wanted to prove to myself is that I tried my best. So at the minute, it's going to plan. So see how it goes.
There's a story I read this morning that when you were going off the rails, you were a very clever kid in school. You were an A and B student, but just did you get bored very easily?
I was very diagnosed with ADHD at about 10 years old. I've struggled to sit down. I struggle to concentrate for a long period of time unless it's on something I like, and then I can concentrate for longer than anyone. But if it's something boring, I remember in maths class and science class and things like that. I was never a bad child. I was never a bully or anything like that. Never at all. It was just messing around. It was just me being a bit of an idiot, messing around. So yeah, I never really got on in school because the teachers labelled me disruptive from my first year. So from then onwards, I had that label above my head.
Well, I suppose that's true advice to anybody who's listening at the moment, any youngsters who are listening and potentially teachers aren't giving them any respect because they may have an undiagnosed condition, i.e. ADHD. And
yeah.
With a little bit of help and a little bit of focus, you can truly go on and make a success of yourself. Was there an incident in which, was it your gran made you and Nigel Benn sit down together in an airport and say, look, lads, they need a little bit of guidance here. This guy needs a little bit of focus.
It was a little bit more serious than that. I mean, I was really with the wrong crowds and doing the wrong things, in trouble with the law and things like that. So it's sort of I always had this attitude towards my dad. If my mum asked me, I don't care about it. But really and truly, I probably did. Subconsciously, I probably really cared about me and my dad's relationship. But the easiest thing to do was probably just to say, oh, I don't care, as teenagers seem to think is the easiest option all the time. So it came to a stage where I was really quite bad, and my mum being 5'1" and my nan being 5'2", I was sort of out of control. I needed a male role model or a male figure there, putting me back into line. And it was when I was about 9, 10 years old, my mum had to do is just grab me back into the house. But when I was getting 14, 15, I was getting taller, getting bigger, mum could grab me and put me in the back of the car. So yeah, my I was told that I was going to get a parcel with my nan from Stansted Airport. So I thought, oh, right, okay, I can't say no to my nan, she needs help. Went there and I realised it was going into sort of the airport, into the bit where you sort of meet and greet people. I thought, well, I started to realise that it wasn't a delivery. I thought maybe it might be my cousin that I haven't seen in years or anything. I didn't expect my dad. And then, yeah, I saw him coming over. We had a little chat. And if I'm honest with you, I can't remember too much about it. But that's, yeah, that is a true story.
Thanks for being so honest. And first of all, thanks for putting everything on the table there, because there are many different sports personalities and people we've had on the show who will talk around and dance around subjects. So your relationship with Nigel Benn isn't the greatest one at the moment. We'll get on to many different things, I'm sure, about the way in which he currently works in the world of boxing in a second. But let's talk about this career of yours. You said you hadn't pulled on a glove until you were, you know, until you were into your 16, 17 years of age.
Yeah.
And if you have just tuned in, I'm talking to now professional boxer Harley Benn on Radio City Talk. Was there a strike? Was there a first hit when you went, actually, this isn't too bad? There's a really famous Billy Connolly joke, right? And he says, you know when you've done something right, when you've struck a golf ball right, when you've hit a snooker cue correctly, when you've punched someone in the face correctly.
Yeah.
Do you remember that moment?
It was. I've always, from the wrong crowd that I took and the lifestyle I lived when I was a younger teenager, I always knew I could sort of take a punch sort of thing. So I wasn't too worried about that side. All I was worried about is my actual boxing ability. And still, there is still so much work to do on my boxing ability. But I thought, right, I can throw a punch. I can get a punch. I'm a quick learner. I'm a very quick learner, which helped me a lot. But there wasn't a specific moment where I thought, right, I'm going to do this. It was just constantly working away. And then I suppose, yeah, at some point I did think, you know what, I'm going to give this a go professionally.
How do you do that, right? Because obviously you have to make a living. Obviously you were doing a job. You're doing your part-time job and your full-time job. You'd stopped playing football because of the injury. You'd been hanging around with the so-called wrong crowd. And I'm sure with that comes many, many different temptations. How do you make the move from that into pro boxing after only having a white-collar fight and a couple of days sparring with certain people?
Well, see, the thing is with me, which I'm actually quite grateful for, is a lot of the mistakes that people make at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, that sort of age bracket, I made at 13, 14, 15. So I've had the time on my side to be able to look back, reflect on what a stupid choice of life I was heading to, and then sort of snapped out of it at about 17. I see a lot of people that I know, a lot of people that I did know, that will be making the mistakes I made with the wrong crowds at 19, 20, 21, 22, and then end up having to reflect at 26, 27, 28, and there isn't enough time then to go and do what you want to do, really and truly. I know it sounds bad, but if you wanted to become a professional boxer and start training at 27, 28, it probably isn't going to happen. So I made my mistakes early and learned from them early.
Right, and then who was it came to you and said, look, this is what we're going to do? You're under Frank Warren's stewardship at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm under, and to be fair, it was my idea. I thought, right, so haven't had an amateur career. I don't feel like I've got the time to have one. I'm a very impulsive sort of person. I'm 19 now. This is when I went to Frank Warren's office. I'm 19. I know in myself. I was confident that I would learn quick. Sort of went to Frank Warren with a plan. Like, look, I'm a very raw boxer. Haven't had an amateur career. I'm willing to graft in the gym every single day for a year. Is there anything I can do with you? And obviously I had to show them a few videos of me training, and they came down to see me on the pads and sparring and things like that. And I thought, you know what, let's give them a crack, let's give them a go.
Well, hold on, Harley. Would it be an unfair here, right? I have friends of mine who love to go on the pads, and they're pretty good shape. They're good athletes and, you know, have done the white-collar boxing and been successful at it. I love a good go on the bag myself, only the beautiful thing about the bag, it doesn't punch you back in the mouth, so that just about keeps me right. If any of my mates walk into Frank Warren's office and they weren't Ben's, there's a chance that he wouldn't give them a chance. Was that a little bit of a help? Because I know obviously throughout your life it's been a hindrance, but was it a bit of a help in that situation?
Yeah, of course. I'd be anyone that's listening to me now and I said no, it wasn't a help, or no, it isn't a help, would know fully well I'm not telling the truth. I mean, it's like with the surname Beckham, if you went to a football team, you'd probably be picked first, or you'd probably get more chance. It's not like I changed my name to go in there. My name was changed years before I thought I ever wanted to be a boxer. Obviously, I explained to Frank who I was, and my mum also knew Frank and a few people associated with Frank due to the life she had with my dad. It probably did help.
And again, thanks for your honesty on that. I know things have been a little bit ropey with you and your dad. I watched an interview we did a couple of days ago after your half brother, who's also a professional boxer. He got a professional win as well. It's very difficult in the world of social media when you're an honest, forthright character. I get the feeling nobody will ever get away with talking down to you or about you. Do you see your relationship with Nigel and indeed your half brother Connor getting any better? Because anybody who hasn't seen this, it's a difficult relationship to have, specifically in professional sport, and when idiots like me who do interviews with you consistently bring it up. And I apologise for doing so, but I'd love to think that there's going to be a Ben Stable, a boxer sometime.
There's no problem for asking the questions. I know, I mentally prepare myself all the time. I know these questions are going to come. They have to come. But yeah, I mean, me and my dad, there was a bit in the sun on the day I fought, actually, on Friday, June the 2nd, just about my dad's relationship. He offered an olive branch to basically see how things go slowly. It was always meant to be working out well and good. The thing is with Connor, me and him have never seen eye to eye, but we've sort of both been willing to put that aside to try. Many a times, it's failed many a times also. But it was just the other day, it was on the day of my fight. Obviously on social media you get more than enough stick and loads of hate messages, and I think one said that he's nothing better than a hyped up journeyman. At least Connor has ability. And then Connor liked and retweeted it, and I was thinking, personally, regardless of what goes on, I wouldn't sit there and retweet bad tweets about my brother on the day of his fight. And I just and from that, for me, sort of was a nail in the coffin for now. I'm focusing on me, my boxing ability, and my mum. And before, no one really comes before my mum, my daughter, my nan, and my sister. So I'm doing it for all my girls, and when they're happy, that's when I'll think about the other side of my family.
And look, for you to go on to social media and to actually respond with literally hours before you're supposed to have another professional bout, and if you don't mind, I'm going to read your tweet here, because this isn't this is very refreshing from someone in the world of boxing. He says, just to set the record straight, people are always are tweeting me, comparing me to Conor. We're completely different, been brought up completely different, a la Conor was brought up in the Ben stable. You weren't. We haven't spent a lot of time together. I don't like him. He doesn't like me. People say that he's better than me. I bloody hope so at the moment. He's had gloves on him since the age of two. I had one white collar fight when I was 16. No amateur experience, no big crowds, no limelight. I'm trying to do the best. I'm trying to be the best as a professional boxer. I'm learning on the job. I could go on and on and on. And at the end, thanks for your support. See what tomorrow brings. I think that sums you up as a person. Again, nobody's going to bring you down, and they haven't brought you down in your professional career so far. Two fights. Talk me through your two fights, because I'm very keen to get away from this story, because I want to know about Harley Benn the boxer.
But okay, well, the first fight was, I was nervous. My adrenaline was going. Of course, as nervous, it was the first time out in front of a prop crowd and being live on TV. The adrenaline was kicking in a lot. I was in a changing room, and I started warming up on the pads, and that's when my nerves sort of went. When even walking through the ring, they went, but as soon as I got in the ring, they came back. And the first performance was sort of I'll be completely honest about myself, was sort of a messy, wanting to get it over with job. I think I was very over-anxious, as the commentators even say in the first round. I was proper loading up on the punches, just trying to look for the knockout. Got my boxing together a bit, but towards the end of the first round, went back to corner, I was blowing, more than like, because I can spar 12 rounds in a gym. But after one round of professional boxing, not in the gym, I was sort of blowing a bit. I thought that was because of the adrenaline and the nerves. Went back to the corner. I wasn't hitting the body like I should have been. So my corner told me you need to work the body more. As soon as I'd done that, I think it was 43 seconds into the second round, I stopped him with a body shot and a barrage of punches. I sort of had an out-of-body experience, because I remember looking down on myself fighting, and I don't remember it at all.
Well, look, and we don't really have the time to go through the last fight. No, the last fight was against Paul Cummings. It too was a success. Two professional wins out of two. What headlines do you foresee for Harley Benn? Because this is another thing about you. You're not going around saying, I'm going to be world champion. You're just saying, look, allow me to develop and get better day after day after day, and judge me on each fight.
Yeah, I mean, my goal is to become a world champion. 100%. I wouldn't have started this thing if I didn't want to reach the top of it. Regardless of me saying that at the minute I'm learning on the job, which I am learning on the job, I'm a very green novice boxer, but I do believe over the next years I can set myself to the top of the sport. And that's it. And I'll always remember where I come from. Regardless of wherever it takes me.
And as every single boxing writer or every single journalist or presenter you have spoken to probably in the last 2 years, a little fight, Conor Benn against Harley Benn, both is coming in at the same weight. What do you reckon?
I mean, I'm coming down two weights for my next fight. I'm coming down two weights to light middleweight. I'm not going to comment on that, but we'll see.
I love this quote, and you don't have to comment on this quote. And the quote says, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't thought about it. Whether that's the truth or not, I'm going to leave that for a different day. Is that all right, Harley?
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Listen, God bless, man. All the best with the future, and really good to have such an open, honest chat with somebody like yourself. And we wish you very well from everyone here at Radio City Talk. All right?
Thank you very much. This is Radio City Talk.